We thank you for this day that you've made, Lord God, for the opportunity to come and to gather and to worship here together as a people called church, a people called the children of God. We thank you. And so, God, as we come, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And we invite your Holy Spirit to come. We welcome the Holy Spirit to come to be in our midst. Come among us and touch us again and revive us again and bring us to this place of joy and understanding that God loves us. Remind us again that God loves us. So much so that he would send Jesus Christ to die for us, the Good Shepherd. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the Good Shepherd. And now take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today is a good day. Every day that we are up and about and could move around and we're not in a hospital or in a nursing home or somewhere, and even with little aches and pains, we could still get around. It's a good day. Frankly, it's a great day. It's a great day to be alive and to be well. There's so many people going through difficult times. And today my sermon title is The Faithful Gatekeeper. You know that text, I was just looking at it, reading it, that text we just read, next week, verse 11, focuses on the Good Shepherd. Today I want to talk a little bit about the gatekeeper. Jesus said, I am the gate. And so that is important to understand Jesus saying those words. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, you oftentimes have to make sure you're reading what's going on around you in the news and reading and understanding, because as Karl Barth, a well-known theologian, German theologian, he's gone now, always said that every good preacher should wake up with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the next hand. Those days he didn't have the phone and the iPhone and the internet and all of that. Because one should know what one is talking about. You've got to know the change in times and know what to do and understand when you want to tell people about Jesus. You have to live in the context of where you are. You have to apply the word of God to that context. It's a living word. It's not a static word. It's a word that works and changes based on the time you're in. And so I want to share a little bit of statistics with you. If I was more brilliant, I would memorize them all and just say them. But I'm not that brilliant. The religious, from the Pew, the Pew survey says the religious landscape study surveys more than 35,000 Americans from all 50 states about their religions, their religious affiliations, beliefs and practices, and social and political views. And we've come to find out, and this is really a relatively new, is my mic on? Okay. Yeah, I didn't want this one to be on and this one. It's a relatively new research, and it says that Christianity is 70.6% of the United States. We are now 70.6, which is, thanks be to God, we are still the majority. And that makes up evangelic Protestant, mainline Protestant. I always wonder when they divide that up. We should all be evangelical. But anyway, mainline Protestant, which means like a Methodist. Evangelic Protestants are 25.4%. Mainline Protestant are 14.7%. Then there's the historically black Protestants like the AME and the CME and so on. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church, the Mormon, the Orthodox Christian, Jehovah's Witness, and other Christians, we make up 70.6%. Somewhere in there, the Methodists, we're in the mainline. There's 13 million of us in the U.S., United Methodists, and then 20-something million overseas. That I knew from the bishop talking about a couple of weeks ago. And then there are the non-Christian faiths, which makes up 5.9%. And that would be Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and other world religions. Makes up a smaller percentage, and then other faiths. And then there's the unaffiliated religious nuns. There's enough people to go and tell Jesus about. They're 22.8%. Then there's the atheist. They're 3.1%. And then there's the agnostics. They're 4.0%. Nothing in particular, 15.8%. We could start working on the nothing in particular, can't we? And we'll tell them about Jesus. And the ones that don't know is 0.6%. So I read those stats to tell us and remind us that there are many religions in America. It is said that we have become a pluralistic nation. Many years ago, we were not considered, for some of the older people who are here, and certainly this morning, one would not say religion in America was pluralistic in the sense that it is now. Yes, we would have Christianity, and then and then the other religions, of course, the American Indians who are here and who are not Christians believe in their own nature, you know, religion around nature and so on. But we were not as pluralistic as we are now. Religious pluralism is an attitude or policy regarding the diversity of religious belief system coexisting in society. It can indicate one or more of the following: an acceptance of the concept that two or more religions with mutually exclusive truth claims are equally valid. That means there are many religions going around now. We are much more closer to us. How many people can say now on Long Island may be able to say, I know somebody who worships in another religion? Can we all raise our hand? Now we could say that now. Years ago we couldn't say that, right? Your neighbor was Christian, the other person was Christian, and not where I live, it was always like that. Now you could say you know somebody else that worships another religion. So that's going to be important for us, because we really have to know who we worship, what he says, what does Jesus say for us, and who we worship. And in this reflection, which I finally found it this morning, it says, does all road lead to God, to the God of the Christian church we're speaking about? Because this is a Christian writer. In a video based on his book, 3.6 Stories of Hope, Max Lucado illustrates the odd nature of the statement that all religions lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. Well, the sentence makes good talk show fodder, but does not make sense. Can all approaches to God be correct? How can all religions lead to God when they are no different, when they are so different? We don't tolerate such logic in other matters, says he. We don't pretend that all roads lead to London, or all ships sail to Australia, all flights don't lead to Rome. Imagine your response to a travel agent who proclaims they do. You tell him you need a flight to Rome, Italy. So he looks at this on his screen and he offers, well, there is a flight to Sydney, Australia at 6 a.m. Does it go to Rome? You ask, no, but it offers great food and movies. But I don't need to go to Rome, you say. He says, well, let me suggest Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines flies to Rome. No, but they win awards for on-time arrivals. You're getting frustrated, so you reiterate. I need one airline to carry me to one place, Rome. The agent appears offended. Sir, all flights go to Rome. Well, you know better. Different flights have different destination. There's not a thickhead, that was a thickhead conclusion. This was not a thickhead conclusion, but an honest one. Every flight does not go to Rome, and every path does not lead to God. Now we know the saying that we have heard many times, and we'll all hear folks from different religion will tell you that it's one God and all roads lead to God. And I always say I don't know all the other roads to God. I don't read all the other holy texts. I haven't studied them. I only know the one road to God as found in this one book. And I have been trying to read this one book that I have now lost, but I found it. I have been trying to read this one book all my life. And now that I'm older, let's say, I still haven't finished, still don't know everything in it. And the only road it tells me, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ for me as a Christian. Amen. And I could only tell somebody what I know. I can't tell you about the other roads. Maybe there are other roads. I, in my small capacity, cannot tell you how you get there as a Buddhist. Cannot tell you how you get there, because I can barely figure out how to get there as a Christian. Except for Jesus has made it simple. The only way I know to get to God is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to tell folks that. Now, we live in this pluralistic world, and things are coming to us from every place, right? Those of us who have been in schools and we get educated and when you get to schools, you meet different people, you know, especially when you come out of public school, out of your, you know, junior high and so, but even then, you get to universities. And you will hear through study, people will tell you, this is the way to God, and you could go to God this way, and you could go to God that way, and you have got to be quite clear which God you're following, right? How you're going to get there, and once you get there, you gotta make up your mind that you're committed to stay there, or maybe you're not. Well, whichever way you're going to follow, you got to at least know why you're following it. Right? You've got to know that. And so Jesus wanted to tell these folks here. You see, this was not just happening now. Right? In the Gospel of John, which is this beautiful gospel, you know, Jesus, the language in there for John is beautiful. John is going to have all the I ams. I am the gate. I am the bread of life. Right? I am the good shepherd. He's going to have all the I ams. Jesus is going to leave these words for us to let us understand that when we belong to him, we belong to him and nobody else. Amen. Right? We can't take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's not synchronism of religion. We got to know, especially when we're in a world where there's so many religions. And so from the Message Bible, Jesus is going to tell these folks, he's telling them, because the Pharisees, if you read earlier before chapter 10, they had been arguing with him, constantly arguing with him, and trying to tear them down. And as I said earlier this morning, there were many messiahs. There were people coming up saying there were messiahs. You know, there were ones who were going to save the Israelites, take them out of captivity, do this and do this. So there were many of that. And he wanted to differentiate himself. He had to and let them know. And remember, just like then, now, there's many things seeking our attention, church. Many things wanting our attention away from God. Away from Jesus, right? We've got TV with 900 stations now or more, right? We can find everything on television. We've got places to go. We have got books to read. I said, I imagined earlier about 1950 something in this part of Long Island, this Protestant church here would be filled because the community, the people who migrated here and came here, they were either European Christians, a lot of them are running from persecution much earlier than that, much, much earlier. Or they were Roman Catholic. But people just came to church because they live in the neighborhoods. Right? And they knew Christianity and they brought their children to church. Am I right, folks who have been here a long time, that this place would have been filled with people? You didn't have to go outside. You didn't have to give out a pamphlet. You didn't have to give out anything, did you? No, because people came to church. I'm from Jamaica. Everybody was going to church when I grew up. Sunday morning, women had on their hats, and we all went to church. I knew nobody else that didn't go to church. So religion, it was different. The time we spent to the Lord with the Lord was so different. It was so much easier than it is now. So much easier. Now we have not only these religions, we got the new wave. All the new wave spirituality and all of that. Lots of stuff. And you got to be careful that you don't try them. Because sometimes we try them and we get what? What happens? We get misled. We get hooked. Do you know that? He says, oh, I'm just going to read about it. I don't mean study. Study is different. You're studying, you're making comparisons. Sometimes in school you have to do that. I did comparative religions, and I had to do it in school. That's different. You're required to take the course. But you've got to be careful. So Jesus now is speaking to the crowd, and he wants them to know that he is the one. He says, and this is from the Message Bible, a little bit more contemporary. He says, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. That means if he doesn't come through the gate, somebody's trying to get you to the back way, coming to another way to get you, you know that he's a thief. The shepherd walks right up to the gate, and the gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognizes his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you know that is so true that shepherds will tell you, the Middle Eastern shepherds and African shepherds, they'll tell you that the sheep were not the smartest animal. People keep saying that, but they're pretty smart. You know why they're pretty smart? Who said the sheep wasn't that smart? Did they tell us that? They're pretty smart because they say a shepherd, after he has taken care of his sheep for a long period of time, when they go to get their sheep, if I'm calling my sheep, you know, they have a certain sound. Each shepherd have a certain sound to get their sheep. Those sheep will come to that shepherd and not go to somebody else. Now, how do they know to do that? Because they know what? Know his voice. Knows the shepherd voice. And Jesus is using that allegory. He's using this allegory for them to get it. This metaphor. Right? The sheep know my voice. And how are we going to know Jesus' voice? We can only know his voice through what? Through his word. Through prayer and reading his word. We can only know what he says about certain things through his word. If somebody comes to us and say, well, I don't, you know, that Jesus, you know, didn't die on a cross, it is not so. We are followers of Jesus. We know we could find the fact that he died on the cross, we could find it in the Gospels, can't we? The fact. We may find it prophesied in the Old Testament, but somewhere in the New Testament, we're going to see it. And we're going to know, oh no, that's not true what you're telling me. That's not how it goes, because the Word of God doesn't say it. We have to know it. We have to be in relationship with him. And we have to come to church. We have to come and be in relationship. We have to, that's how we know his voice. When he calls us, we know. When he speaks to us, we'll know. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he continues. He says, when he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. Church, are we familiar with Jesus' voice today? Are we familiar? Do we know in our spirit and in our soul when it's the word is from Jesus? Does it quicken our hearts? I don't mean that we may be hearing it audibly. I don't think we're... But does it quicken your heart when you know, yes, this is from the Lord? You hear a song sing or the word preach or you read the scriptures and all of a sudden it says, because you recognize it. It's familiar. He says they won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. That's not true anymore. Jesus is saying this is what should happen, but there are many Christians who are what? Following strangers' voice. People who promise all kinds of stuff. Promise all kinds of healing. Promise you if you give them money. I went to a revival many years ago, this church, and the guy was there preaching, and he said, you know, tonight I've come and the Lord has spoken to me and he says, if you want a healing, you have to give some money. And I'm kind of sitting there watching and I'm thinking, well, I don't need a healing because a good thing I don't because I don't have any money to give. And he kept talking and he says, you could give $100. This is true now. You know, I'm not making this part up. You could give $100 Or you could get, if you want a bigger blessing, you could give 500, or you could give 1,000. This was in a church in Queens. And I saw people get up, and he kept talking, and people were getting up. And I guess they were either writing checks, because who come with a $1,000 bill? I don't know if they make one, since I've never seen a $1,000 bill in one piece. And so people were coming up with their monies or their checks to give this preacher, because they were going to get a healing. Now, where in the Word is that? Is it in the Word? It's not in the Word. But because they were out of the Word, they were coming to do that. We've got to know God's Word. And don't follow the stranger. And they were not getting it. Jesus was speaking to them and they were not getting it. Jesus told this simple story, but they were not getting that idea he was talking about. And so what did he say? He did the story again. And this time he said, so he tried again. He says, I'll make it explicit. He said, I am the gate. He's going to talk about, he says, I am the gate for the sheep. That means the sheep can't even enter in without getting past me. All those others are up to no good. They're sheep stealers. Every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life and have it more abundantly. And so here's the image on your bulletin. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see how the normal in those days, how the sheep pen would look. The sheep pen is made with those stones or fence around, right, where the sheep would go in. And right at the gate of there where the gate is, or the door of the gate, guess who's there? Right, the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper now is at the door, and you can't get in unless you have to step over the gatekeeper. You can't come out unless you step over the gatekeeper. So Jesus is not just saying, he is the good shepherd, we know that. And we're going to talk more about that next time. The good shepherds protect, the good shepherds take care. But he's saying, I am the gatekeeper and I'm blocking this place here. He's laying down here. And nobody can come in and steal my sheep. You see, those of us who have accepted Christ, all of you, who have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, who's here today if you have, nobody can take you away from Jesus. He'll say in the Gospel of John, when he was praying to the Lord, he says, Father, all those you have given me, I have not lost any of them. We may stray, because we're sheep. We stray, but Jesus never strays from us, right? We may try to jump over the fence, try to get around him, but he never runs away from us. He holds on to us, and you have to kill him to get to us. And we already know that he did. He laid down his life for us, for you and me, so that we can have the hope of an abundant, eternal life. And the only way to get to me, because I'm a believer, and I could use my, and you have to step over Jesus. Because I'm going to be staying right behind him. I've made up my mind. I'm convinced now that he's Savior and Lord. I've been convinced. Right? And I'm going to hold on to him. Doesn't mean that somebody can't climb over the fence and try to get me and I could get enticed. Because we could all get enticed. We get enticed by material things. We get enticed by stories we hear. You know, I am very, as a Christian, I've been a Christian all my life. My mother, you know, brought me up in the church. But, and I am, can be very dear, and I've traveled the world and done little things. But I'm very particular about testing other religions. Very particular. I may read about it, but if people invite me to places and tell me they're going to be a little voodoo worship over here or something, I'm not showing up. Do you understand? Because I don't want anything to come on me. Now that may be naive, but I'm not very experimental with that. People say they're getting high in marijuana and then they see heaven and
all of that. One guy was telling me they were going to the spirituality place and these things happened. I am not showing up because I don't want anything to steal in and come get me. You understand? I'm holding on to Jesus because I'm scared of what I'm going to find. Right? I am staying behind Jesus. And he wants us to know today that each and every one of you is so important to him that he is preventing those who want to come and steal you. He's stopping it because he's the gatekeeper. And unless you want to bust out, and even when we bust out and try to get away from him, guess what? You know, some of us, when we're having the rustling in our heart and we don't want to know what to do, and we go away from the church and we have to come back to the church, do you know what's happening to us? Jesus. Holy Spirit is just kind of speaking, I love you. I died for you. I want you. You're mine. You're always mine. We're always his. And no thief can get hold of us. He wants us to know that. He protects us. Protects us like a mother protects her child. Protects us because he loves us. And the hope of eternal life. He is the gatekeeper. And that gate, nobody can get through. That gate. Except those who believe in him. He's the good shepherd, he says. And he will lay down his life for us. Now that is good, good scripture for us to rejoice over. To know that we don't have to pay to get to heaven. Right? We don't get confused about what we do on earth. We give our tithes and offering to the church so that we could bless the church. And so the church could continue to do good in the world and make disciples for Christ. But when we pass on from here, the heaven's gate is open for us. There's a picture I saw on Facebook where it's like in heaven and there's a gate. And Jesus is standing in the middle. It's just a picture. And you could enter. He has his arms open. And one could visualize. This is how he welcomes us. We could come on in. Come on in because he knows our name. And we know his name. He's the gatekeeper. And guess what? He took the job. And he never quit. He took the job as the gatekeeper and he never quit. He's faithful till the end. That's why the 23rd Psalm we say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because thou art with me. He is going to be with us till the very end of the ages. And so, Paul, as they spoke to the church, Peter spoke to the church and at the beginning of Acts there, those people were so filled with the Spirit and rejoicing about this gift from God through Jesus Christ, the ability and the opportunity and the privilege to get to heaven. The Bible says they fellowshipped and they worshiped God and they brought their possessions to the church because they were so excited to be saved. To have this promise. And they rejoiced and numbers were added. Numbers were added to their congregation as they fellowship and worship God. Church, if we are joyful Christians and we believe that Jesus Christ died for us and we believe that he saved us and we have the hope of eternal life. And no matter what, his grace extends to us. I know sometimes we get confused and we don't believe and somebody tell us something, but his grace abounds. His grace abounds, right? Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. His grace abounds and forgives us and welcomes us in. So today we can rejoice knowing that the one who's at our gate that lets us in, will protect us, will keep us in. You cannot get away from him. Is that good news for us today? Amen. It's good news, isn't it? Made me want to dance today, this morning, when I read it. Huh? Because every now and then when I think I'm going to fall out, I think, oh, I got a gatekeeper. He's watching me. He's watching over me. Huh? He's holding on to me. I can't run. And I'm so glad. And I'm so glad for all of you that you know Jesus Christ, that you know him and his great love for you. You don't have to be concerned. All you've got to do is to serve him and to worship him and to do and to follow him and to spread the good news of the gospel. That's all. He's already paid the ultimate price. Amen.